Today on Real Radio.
Why would I embrace something that Charles Taze Russell created and calling it the Watchtower, the Bible, the Watchtower Society? And when my Bible has been written for thousands of years and it told me all about this before they ever showed up on the scene.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, there's a common thread that runs throughout this letter to the believers: discernment. And in verses 18 and 19 of the second chapter, John uses a word that should concern every true believer. That word is Antichrist. He also writes the word Antichrists, plural. Of course, he explains the difference and why they are just that, Antichrist. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Who is Antichrist?
Paul only spent 4 weeks at that church. He started it, stayed 4 weeks, and he left. And when you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he taught them about the predestination of God's people, and he taught them about the rapture of the church in 4 weeks. That's what Paul thought was important, that your salvation is secure and Jesus is going to rapture you out of this planet. He's coming back for the church. That's what they were taught in 4 weeks period of time. Well, he writes to them a year later and he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write unto you. Why? Because they knew the scriptures. They were searching the word. And they were in touch with the Lord. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul states it to Titus, this passionate announcement, that we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another passionate plea is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. That's a beautiful promise regarding the rapture of the church. But how are we to be living? We're to be walking in these hopeful passages. We're to be careful against the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's out there and it's invading. In ancient times, there were those models, there were those types of the Antichrist. The very first Antichrist that you read of, really, in study and in what's called eschatology, the study of prophecy, a lot of scholars will bring up this guy Nimrod. That Nimrod was the first type of the Antichrist. He was a bad boy, this Nimrod. Another man that comes to light as a type of Antichrist, this guy gets a bad rap, though, because I believe he's in heaven tonight. And I can't wait to meet him. And that is Nebuchadnezzar. Before Nebuchadnezzar was converted in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar built an image. Remember the big statue image and all the world was to bow down to that image? Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, to the Antichrist of the book of Revelation? But Nebuchadnezzar was viewed as a type of Antichrist. Then there was a guy by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. He's a wicked man. And he was regarded by those in antiquity as one who was anti-God. And then Caesar Nero. The Christians during the first century believed that Caesar Nero was the Antichrist, the person. And in recent years, many people believed that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. A lot of people held to that view. I want to look at four things regarding verse 18. And then we're going to come back to this portion and we're going to use it as a catalyst or a springboard to go from here into 10 things regarding the spirit of the Antichrist during our age, in our age, the time that you and I live in. But the first thing we want to see tonight, verse 18, it says little children. This is that word that we saw a couple weeks ago. It doesn't mean little ones born into the family. This is that word that we saw that means ones having very little experience, immature children. So John says, my immature children, not deep in learning. He says, it's the last hour. He's informing them. Interesting words, last hour. The word last is the furthest point out from where you're at. It means at road's end or the very end of the path, last. It's the very furthest distance away from where you're at. John says, little immature young believers, we are at the point of the last end. We're at the edge. We're at the curb. We're at the stop sign. We're at the dead end sign. This is what the Holy Spirit impresses upon John to speak. It's the last furthest point to the end, hour. The word means hour, and it means it literally or figuratively based upon the context. Now, understandably, it's not the last hour, because that was 2,000 years ago. But it is the last hour, meaning we're right at the edge. And this word hour meaning it's at eventide. We don't use that terminology anymore in Old English. It means the sun is setting. It's evening now. The evening influence is coming upon us. The sun is going down. So John says, little inexperienced children of mine, prophetically, we are right at the edge of the road. We're at the end of the highway. And we are not only at the end of the highway, but as we peer over the edge and look out into the landscape, the sun is setting. Now, people, listen to this carefully. There are some people who say, I don't think Jesus is coming back. Every time I hear someone say that, I don't care who they are, I just am warned by that declaration. I don't think the Lord's coming back soon. The Bible warns, pay attention to anyone who says such a thing. If anyone says, the Bible says, that the Lord delays his return, that this person is going to have a moral and spiritual lax or laziness or slack in their life. It's dangerous. It takes vigilance. I heard Chuck Swindoll give a message one time, beautiful message, regarding the rapture of the church. And his message was, I stay ready to keep from having to get ready. I stay ready to keep from having to get ready. Isn't that great? Think about it. You're going to go to work tomorrow. You're going to go to your job. I guarantee you, the moment you showed up at your job or you will show up at your job, you're ready to go home. You look at the clock. You're ready to go home. You stay ready to keep from having to get ready. Can you imagine if the boss says, well, it's 5 minutes to five. It's almost quitting time. And you're thinking it's going to take you 2.5 hours to clean up? No, you stay ready to keep from getting ready. You don't say, and neither would the Holy Spirit, if he dwelt in you, would allow you to think or say, well, you know, if things get worse prophetically and stuff, then I'll come around and then I'll get really serious about God. That's fatal deception. It's dangerous. We're living in the last age. That's what John's telling us. The last hour. It's amazing. Little children, it's the last hour. He goes on to say, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Well, this is written 2,000 years ago. People were talking about the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is coming. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Well, we've heard the Antichrist is coming, and we're going to continue to hear it. But we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're going to really get into this next week and have some fun with this, but he says, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Well, the word heard here is to be voiced about or to be announced. So it's being talked about as it was then, so it is now. And this word Antichrist, very interesting word, Antichristos. The word means to be an opponent of Christ by nature. But listen, when you divide the words anti and Christ, anti is opposite or against. Opposite or against. but it is also rendered instead of, like an imposter. So the Antichrist, it's true, it can be the one who opposes Christ, Antichrist, but also the word means an imposter of Christ. That's how he wants to do it. That's how he does it. He mimics Christ to overthrow his attempt, that is, of Christ, by being an imposter of Christ. He's against Christ by coming in Christ's place. You see? It's very common for a criminal to maybe pose as an imposter so that he can get into the bank. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to project himself to be the Christ, but in fact he's not, of course. It also says in verse 18, it says, even now many antichrists have come. This is past tense. John is saying, they've come. There are many antichrists, many. They have come. The word to come, the word can also mean to come or to go or to be appearing. It means to be entering as like in a current moment and then going on off into history. He says, even now many antichrists have come. The word even now means, in the Greek, it's a primary particle, which means this, that from hereafter they will continue to come. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us that since the birth of the church, from that moment on, the imposters of Christ will come, and they've been coming, and they'll continue to come. It shall be that way. You and I are living in a day and in an age when there are antichrists all over the world. How many of you ever heard of Sai Baba? You ever heard of Sai Baba? Raise your hand. Sai Baba is an amazing guy. He's raising people from the dead. Some of the people have been dead for days. Raising people from the dead. In India. Sai Baba has been noted as praying for people in his name, in his own name. And eye sockets that never even had eyeballs in them, when they open their eyes, there's eyes and they can see. That's just one. I remember coming home from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa on a hot Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. Came upstairs to the condo thing there. We lived across the street in Gospel Gulch. If you know where that is, across the street from Calvary Chapel. It's like a Christian commune thing. Went upstairs, and there on the Sunday Los Angeles Times, you thumb through it, and it was a full-page announcement. Do you remember this? I have it in my file. I have it to this day. I should have brought it tonight. It says across the front that the Messiah is here. Christians call him Jesus Christ. You know, and on it goes, the Buddhists call him this, the Muslims call him this, he is here. And he will reveal himself in 2 weeks by his special prophet that will announce to the world by special revelation that the Christ is now here. And then at the bottom it says, this announcement is being announced simultaneously in world papers or global papers around the world. Lord Maitreya was his name. Well, it didn't come to pass, obviously. But the announcement is the world wasn't ready for him, and so he's waiting. I love this kind of stuff because it just puts an accent on my Bible even more. Jesus said there'd be days like this. Many antichrists have come. Jude, it's one and only chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. This is frightening language. Creepers have crept in, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say that they lead people captive, and they're like clouds without rain, and on they go. But Jude is saying they've crept in. They're among the ranks. That's kind of unsettling. Verse 18 continues to say, by which we know that it is the last hour. And this is the word gnosko in the Greek. John is speaking to his audience, and he's saying, I know that you know, we all know together, we know by experience, we know that by the Antichrist and many of them being present, coming and going in the world, we know that it's the last days. We know this by fact. Gnosko, to have a complete knowledge of. Okay, we're going to look at a few things. We have 5 minutes left. We're going to look at the first thing of these 10 interesting items that we're going to look at regarding who is Antichrist. Well, jot this down. Number one. This is number one out of 10. What is it to be Antichrist? You ought to jot that down. That's a question. What is it to be Antichrist? What does it mean? What is it to be Antichrist? Well, the first thing's this, and this ought to raise the hair on your neck, because it is so clear, it's almost dumbfounding, because you would think, well, can't Satan hide his colors better? No, because he's so obsessed with a passion of his to destroy Christ. Listen to this. What is it to be Antichrist? The first thing is, it is to deny the deity of Jesus. It's to deny the deity of Jesus, and that comes in several forms. Listen carefully. The common key that every cult and occultic group has in their belief is the degrading and or devaluing of the person of Christ. That's what they all have in common. Example, the Jehovah Witnesses devalue and degrade the deity of Jesus Christ, making him an angel. They have made Jesus a created being. They say he's an angel. In fact, they say in the Bible he goes by another name, Michael. That's what they'll tell you if they're honest at your door. What is it to be Antichrist? Is to deny the deity of Christ. That is a denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the denial of Jesus, or I'm going to give you a second illustration, not the second announcement of it. The second illustration is where the Jehovah's Witnesses just flat out deny. There are those like the New Age movement. It's the old age movement, which has gotten to the West in the last 180 years, and it's become the New Age movement. It's the old age, it's the old world. It's just been fancied up for a new world here, New Age. Same old thinking. And this is how it devalues and degrades the deity of the precious Son of God, is that it announces that you too can become a god just like Jesus is. And if somebody's honest when they knock on your door and you ask them, can I become just like Jesus is now? They will say, that's exactly what we teach. Yes, you can. Sign up. That is satanic doctrine found in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. You see, that tears down. If anyone can become a god, if Linda Evans can become a god, just what kind of a god are you if you have to have so many facelifts? How does this work? Why don't you just say, I'm a god and I can fix me? And Shirley MacLaine, she says, you're a god. You are a god. You just forgot that you're a god. That's what she says. You forgot that you're a god. What kind of a god forgets that he's a god or she's a god? This morning I got up. And I went to the back sliding glass door to step outside. I wake up, I go right outside. I've been doing that all my life. I don't know what that is. It just dawned on me that I do that every day. I roll out of bed, I walk outside. It's a good thing we have a lot of shrubs and trees, I guess, in my backyard. So as I was heading out there, I killed a fly on the way out there. Now, that might offend some of you, because I might have killed one of your relatives who's going through a process of becoming a god. And that's, is that crazy? Well, Jack, how does that tear away or tear down the deity of Jesus Christ? Because basically it says, scoot over, Jesus, now there's a few of us up here that are just like you. My Bible says that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. But there's doctrines out there teaching that we can become, you know, sons of God too in some light. And instead of begotten, it'd be rotten though. We are berotten gods. No, begotten is the uniqueness. That he's the only one. That's what the word begotten means. The only, one and only for all time and eternity. He's the only one that God the Father has put upon him with his mission and with his him becoming a human. No one else is going to do that. You can't have a couple of begotten, my only begottens. Now you got a problem. You can't do that. You see, the time that you and I are living in, the things that we're hearing, the people knocking at the door and all the stuff that's pumped over radio and stuff, this ought to really excite us because, man, thanks for knocking on my door. You're proof positive just again that my Bible is so true. And listen, buddy, at my front door, you're just telling me right now that I'm right at the edge looking over into the horizon. The sun is setting. We're near the end. I'm glad you've come to my door. Why? Because Jesus says many false prophets would come. And you're here. It's so true. Why would I embrace something that Charles Taze Russell created and calling it the Watchtower, the Bible, the Watchtower Society, and when my Bible has been written for thousands of years and it told me all about this before they ever showed up on the scene? Isn't this amazing? What is it to be Antichrist? John chapter 1, verse 14. It says there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, that's awesome. What is it to be Antichrist? We have many more scriptures and not enough time. I'm telling you, next week, hopefully you're going to be here. Hopefully I'm here next week. I am here next week. Bring your notebook. I think I have probably 50 scriptures to give you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through a section of 1 John chapter 2. It's one of the passages in this letter to believers where the apostle uses two terms that should concern every single one of us who claim to follow Jesus: Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The title of this presentation, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist? is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look into these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday, including tonight, you can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, we really think you're going to like it. And if you have seen it, well, you know exactly what I mean. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is just that. It's a program that really takes a look at real life issues that affect you and me as believers in today's world. Things like prophecy, Israel, Islam, defending the faith, there's a good one, defending the reliability of Scripture, elections and voting our biblical worldview, and a whole lot more. Now, at times, you'll hear Pastor Jack himself teach on these kind of topics, but other times, he sits down and interviews an expert in one of these fields. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock, including tonight. That's Pacific time, by the way, and that's on hischannel.com. And by the way, if you'd like to see some of these recent interviews and topical teachings, just click Video on Demand right there at the top of the page on hischannel.com. Then, of course, join us for tonight's broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, 7 o'clock tonight, West Coast time on hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.